It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by our guy, Joey Vitale, who was on the call last night, including the call that had Dakota Joshua picking up his first goal of his career. What'd you think, Joey? What'd you think of the kid?
Hey, Stalt, how you doing? What I thought of the kid, I was excited for him. I mean, I'm excited that he's got an opportunity to play in his first National Hockey League game. You know, the culmination of all the blood, sweat, and tears, not only from him, but all his supporting cast, especially his mom, Julie. Of course, you get into the first game, and the excitement, the energy, running on pure adrenaline. I thought he looked fantastic. I thought he looked very comfortable throughout the first period. He was making things happen. He was getting his bumps. He was winning faceoffs. Everything, to me, looked like a very successful night for him. But then, of course, in that second period, he goes out there and he scores a goal in traditional fashion, fellas. Jamie, you know this better than anyone. Your first NHL goal, it always comes off a shin pad, a helmet, and right there, it comes right off his right thigh. And that's how it happened for the young man. Super happy for him. I heard nothing but great things about his character and what a wonderful kid and how hard he works to get to that point in his life and his career. And to top it off with a goal, I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree, Joey. Now, I certainly want to dive into the entire game as well as Dakota himself, but Brad and I described our first moments. My first goal, I went through it in the first segment. BT went through his first strikeout. You got to tell us, so Joey Vitale, first goal in Pittsburgh. How did it happen?
Well, so it actually happened surprisingly. I didn't have many goals. It actually happened like the third. Shut up, stupid. My dog, my next door neighbor's dog, he's ridiculous.
Oh, that's his name?
Hey, hopefully he's not listening right now. No, he's a fine dog. He's a fine dog. Hey, I shouldn't have called him stupid.
No,
I'm really sorry.
He's fine.
Drop dump button. Anyway, I was in Pittsburgh, and so it was my third game getting called up. And listen, I wasn't a goal scorer. But my first game, it was a great game against the Kings. My second game, we go out to the New York Islanders and play them. And that was that huge just melee where Brent Johnson, your former guy there, Jamie, Brent Johnson's fighting Haley, Gilly's involved. They had more, I think one of the most majors in a game. Of course, I remember that game because something happened. I was in that game.
Oh, my God. That game was incredible.
I fought McDonald, the skilled D-man, on the back end.
Did you ever luck out?
Oh, no.
They had some mutants on that team, too.
I had Tony Granato in my ear, and he was getting news from the big guy up top. You know who I'm talking about. His name rhymes with Mario Lemieux. And he was saying to Tony Granato, he's like, you tell everyone on that bench, you better not finish the game on this bench. And Tony's like, hey, Joey, I know it's your second game, but here, find the most skillful guy out there you can find and just grab him and go. So it was like the 5'7", like, power play guy in McDonald. So I pumped him so hard. I kind of felt bad because it was really, like, lopsided.
No, you didn't.
No, I was fine. But then what happened, why I bring that up, is I jammed my thumb. I jammed my thumb on the fight, and I remember thinking, like, oh, my God, I got all the way here. My second game, I think I broke my thumb. Long story short, we go to Colorado for my third game in the National Hockey League, and I remember thinking, like, I can't move my thumb. I could barely get my glove on. But I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid if I got an X-ray, of course, then they would say, oh, yeah, it's broken or you got a tendon issue or you're going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it was. I'm like, no, I want to play. Forget that. So I got out there. I ended up playing. I could barely stick handle, barely shoot. I got a pass from Brett Sterling. We were the call-up.
Sterling, oh, yeah.
Remember him? We were basically the call-up line, all the injuries in Pittsburgh. He hit me right down the gut. And, guys, I know I make jokes about your first goal going off your butt. This was the prettiest goal I've ever seen. It's my life. I've never scored a goal like this in practice, let alone a game against Budaj there in Colorado. I got it in the middle. I absolutely snapped his thing across his body under the bar. I've never scored a goal like it. My mom and my sister were in the stands. She was going to Colorado State at the time. It was a memory, without question, I'll never forget. So, yeah, it's a coming-of-age moment for sure.
You set the bar too high, though. When you do something like that, isn't there expectation after the fact, Joey?
Oh, for sure. I mean, everyone on the bench is like, whoa, whoa, easy, big guy, easy there. I kept thinking at the end of the game, it was a one-goal game. That game actually went in overtime. Tyler Kenny scored in overtime. I remember being on the edge of my seat thinking, hey, I might get a chance to get out there in overtime. And I remember Aaron asking me, like, hey, easy there, big guy. Untie your skates. We're done for the night.
It's fantastic. That is a good recollection, a great memory for you. And as you said, like your family, and I'm sure that Dakota Joshua has got all that today. You know what's fun for fans right now, Joey, too, is just seeing offense, dude. 12 goals in the last two games. games being created. What's the change? Like, what is going on here? How are the Blues creating this offense?
Well, I think they're creating it, BT, because the other teams don't know who the hell half of these players are, right? I mean, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but usually if you look into a locker room, they have the lineup board on the board. You get their morning skate, and you see O'Reilly on the top line. You see Sunquist on the fourth line. You see the Clippers, and you got your Bozaks, of course, and you got your Parayko at the top. You know that, right? So the coaching staff, they have a good game plan. It's not about necessarily the best personnel. It's about how unpredictable you can be. And when you have the same guys and you play the same system over and over, believe it or not, I don't care how good you are. Once you start becoming predictable, you become easy to defend against. You become easy to beat. So right now, the reason I see all these goals is because we have a whole new crop of players where I think the opposition's like, I don't know who the hell Dakota Joshua is. Who is this Mackenzie McCaffrey? I know he scored a goal two games ago. We've seen him a little bit sporadically throughout the couple seasons, but I don't know much about him either. Mika, who is this absolute giant green giant on the back end who's moving his body around? He wears number 77. Who do you think? He's Pierre Turgeon? This guy's got to be a joke. Right, so all this stuff's going on in the coaching staff's head. The players have no idea who they are, and they see all these quote-unquote minor league players across the other end. And number one, you take them for granted. You don't think you're going to be in for a very good night. And number two, you don't know what they're going to do. So I think that to me, is why we're seeing so many goals. You just have young kids out there that are playing a regimented system-ish, but also just being creative and going out there and kind of doing their own thing and kind of feeling that flow, which is why, to me, it's been so exciting to watch these last couple games.
Joey Vitale's on the calls right here, Blues Radio Network 101 ESPN. Joey, I thought that Zach Sanford had himself a hell of a game, did an excellent job getting in front of the net consistently. You can break it down. You and Jamie can break it down better than I can, though. What did you see out of Zach Sanford last night, besides the fact that he also scored a couple of goals?
Well, I mean, one thing you always see from Zach Sanford, I mean, whenever he gets hit, he reminds me of that Woody doll from Toy Story. He kind of like goes all wonky, like
it's
his
a yard
arms.
Sale.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the yard sale award for this year obviously goes to Zach Sanford. Every time he gets hit, his helmet goes flying out. You think he's like got a concussion. His glove goes one way. Usually, it sticks up in the netting. But aside from getting popped a couple times, I think that we're starting to see a great evolution and a great maturity out of Zach Sanford. I did not like him in the Arizona series. I think he'd be the first to tell you that I was not a very good hockey player in that series. And not only was there were some turnovers, but the turnovers end up in the back of your net, which it wasn't always his fault. Listen, turnovers happen all over the ice, and it happened for every single player. But it just was unfortunate for him that some of those turnovers end up in the back of the net. So that's why I think a large magnifying glass was put on Zach Sanford in that Arizona series. Now, how is he going to respond to that? How is he going to deal with that? Well, number one, Craig Berube kept putting him out there. He kept giving him great assignments, kept putting him out there with the top line. So to me, number one, that shows a great faith in your head coach that he still believes greatly in Zach Sanford. But then again, it all comes through Zach Sanford. What are you going to do with that opportunity? How are you going to respond based off of that series you just had? And ever since then, guys, I think he's been terrific. I think he's been tougher on pucks. I think he's been faster. I think he's getting to the net better. And you know what? At the end of the day, he's just getting some good puck luck. I mean, he's getting himself in a good position, but his tips are hitting the right parts of the blades where they're going to be going in. He's an incredibly skillful player. That saucer pass to Mackenzie McCaffrey on the back door, the first shorthanded goal of the season, that to me is what Zach Sanford is all about. And it's funny, when I remember 3 years ago when I went to, I believe it was out in Hazelwood, I went to go watch the Blues kind of skate one of my first times out there, and no one else but Jamie Rivers. Ribdog, you were with him. You were with him and like seven or eight other players that particular day. And you had a couple of the usuals out there. I think it was James Schwartz was out there. Petrangelo was there. You had some goaltender. I don't know who that was. But you had four or five other guys you never heard of. Zach Sanford, I just remember being this really tall guy. He had a goofy camp number, like 62 or some joking number like
yeah.
that. And I remember his hands were like silk, and he was moving around these cones flawlessly where guys were tripping up. He was just going effortlessly through them. He was knifing through things like butter, and he was putting them under the bar. And I remember thinking, like, who the hell is this guy? And then we find out it was Zach Sanford. And you see it in the game. You see the skill level. You see the presence. You see the offensive mindedness of him. He's got it all in him. If he can just find that confidence on a night-in, night-out basis, he could be that player that we've been seeing over the last couple games.
Joey, great stuff as always. Stop yelling at the neighbor's dog, all right, buddy?
Yeah, well, he stopped barking. You stop barking, I'll stop yelling at you. You know, that's how life is.
You know what? Well said, Joey. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, boy.